As we were preparing for this program, my wife asked me one of those apparently simple questions, dumb questions that require very complicated answers. The question was this: why was the Commedia an instant success in Italy in Dante's lifetime? Even before he'd finished it, there were people reading it and handing copies around. It's, after all, not the easiest literary masterpiece to understand or even enjoy. I would say it's probably the most difficult. Anyone who spent a considerable time reading this poet might be tempted to answer, well, the comedy is obviously a work of such great genius that even the dullest readers could see its importance. But that begs too many questions. Obviously, the Commedia, for all its power, is not an easy work for modern readers to tackle, even with a desk piled high with commentaries. And although Dante's contemporaries would have got far more of the references and allusions to Tuscan gossip and historical incidents, his three afterlives are populated with hundreds of characters, many of them obscure or mentioned with such indirection that several commentaries were composed in the generation following his death. He was not an easy writer for 14th century Italians. So, why was he so popular? One part of the answer lies in the reputation Dante had acquired in the 20-some years before parts of his great work began to circulate. Not only had his love poems made him the greatest writer who had ever written in the Italian language, but his Latin prose works had earned him an immense importance as a moral and political thinker. There is no writer even remotely comparable in English or French, if that is for his impact and influence. Yes, we have our Shakespeare, and the French have Racine, but I mean, these are footnotes compared with the importance that Dante has for every subsequent generation. If Dante had never written the Commedia, he would still be the most significant figure in the history of Italian literature. So that's part of the answer, that he was already a big shot, if we're concerned only with his reputation among poets and scholars. But what about the wider public his work attracted? How do we explain that? Who actually read Dante? His Latin works, especially the De Vulgari Eloquentia and the De Monarchia, were obviously addressed to learned men, a class that was not so infinitesimal in those days as it is today, but small nonetheless. I mean, when I was going to college, my professors told me that to define an educated person was somebody who had a reasonable competence in Greek and Latin. Those who didn't have a competence in Greek and Latin were not educated. Well, you can either say, well, times have changed, or they haven't. Because Chesterton once said that for as long as there are men who count, they will be speaking of Troy. Well, the fact that nobody thinks about the Trojan War anymore, is that because we've changed the definition of people who count? Or maybe there just nobody counts anymore? So the class of learned men was somewhat larger in the 13th and 14th century, but it was small nonetheless. Who read his poems in Italian? We hear tales of tradesmen and shopkeepers who could recite Dante. Can they be true? If we were to read of shopkeepers with literary interests in earlier generations of the Middle Ages, we could dismiss such stories as wishful thinking. People didn't read. But an educational revolution had actually begun in Florence, and that is one of the reasons why Florence is the center point of the coming renaissance of humane learning. By 1300, a majority of Florentine men and a large number of women could read Italian. To summarize what's been said by a recent historian, John Najami, the real revolution was that thousands of families below the level of the elite educated their children. This schooling was not provided by the Commune of Florence. It wasn't government schooling, but it was done by tutors and small schools paid for by